to spend time in Belize, and where's the other place? Was it Guatemala or no? Nicaragua. Yeah, you got some significant things from Nicaragua, didn't you? Yeah, a wonderful bride.
That's right.
So let me go ahead and pray for you, and then the pulpit is yours. Lord, once again, we lift up Pastor Alvin to you. Poppy Alvin, as he's known by those who love him. May you use him wonderfully. Continue to use him. We thank you for the ministry, the calling that you place on his life. Thank you for his life dedicated to you. May you grow in our hearts a burden for the loss that he has. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Good morning. It's good to be back again. I don't know if I'm doing you folks a favor or a disfavor by only coming around once every 3 to 5 years, okay? I do get into the U.S. about once a year, but it's generally over for a minister's conference, and it's usually in the month of January, and this probably would be the best place to come to, especially in the month of January, right? But I kind of come up every year, as I mentioned, to a minister's conference in Arkansas. It's a lot colder, northern Arkansas, a lot colder that time of the year. But it's rare that I get to come here, but it is always an honor and a privilege to do that. And I'm just going to go right on. I set my own self up this morning. I was telling Pastor and some of the other men in the back there that many years ago, I when I was had the opportunity to be at a language school there learning Spanish or getting it a lot better, I had to preach the graduation sermon. And the director of that language school said, "Alvin, 30 minutes is enough for any good preacher and too much for a bad one." So I share that with the pastor this morning, so I'm set now, okay? All right? I put the rope around my own neck, then, right? Okay. But no, it's good to be here. And I will just, you know, as it says, a picture is worth 1,000 words, so I'm going to take a few minutes to show some pictures, and that'll probably help me not to use 1,000 words, okay? So if I can, I'll just go right into some of the slides. Again, my name is Alvin Anderson, and I am from South Carolina. I may not sound like that anymore, but yes, South Carolina farm boy. My parents are both deceased now, but I am the second of 5 boys, and we all grew up on the farm. Christ came into my life when I was 19 years old. I was sharing with Pastor, you know, my mother was Methodist, my father Baptist, and we grew up mostly between the two congregations, but more so going to the Baptist church and so forth as a youth and coming up. But Christ got a hold of my heart when I was 19 years old. Well, we all know that Jesus started working on us from the time that we were conceived, right? We do know that. And of course, when we were born, of course, his spirit is there to draw us to himself. But so he was working in my heart for many, many years, but got my attention and got me on my knees when I was 19 years old. And so for the last 39 years, well, 41 years now in Christ, 41 and a half years. And the last 39 years of my life, I've served God in Central American countries and as well as South America and other countries as well. But my wife and I, okay, I guess this will work better if I turn it on, right? Okay, so my wife and I are serving God in the country of Honduras. And if I'm a good Honduras is there. Okay, I would say, well, we're Panama, so we're about right here, right? So, again, serving God presently in the country of Honduras. I first served the Lord in Nicaragua, and then later on in the country of Belize, went back to Nicaragua for a second term where I met my wife, and we're now the last 23 years living and serving in Honduras. We have 2 beautiful daughters. My almost 25-year-old daughter has been the last 5 years serving in the U.S. Navy, and be praying for her as we saw that slide of the hurricane and it going toward north around Wednesday, I believe. It's supposed to be in that area of North Carolina and Virginia. So, you know, keep her and all of our people from here in the U.S. and in other countries in prayer about that. Also we have a 22-year-old daughter, Amy, and she and her husband made us grandparents for the first time some time ago. This picture was taken back in April. Again, my wife, Nella, is from Nicaragua. And so in April, we celebrated our 26th anniversary, okay? Interestingly enough, it doesn't look like it, but girls at the juvenile detention center in Honduras had this celebration for us. And they had a pastor come in and gave a reenactment of our marriage and our vows, okay? So this was back in April. And as I said, Amaya, our granddaughter, is 1 month old today, okay? And so there she is, okay? A beautiful child. You know, I used to see all these bumper stickers where it says, if I knew that grandchildren was so much fun, I'd have had them first. And I used to go, oh, well, you know, what sense does that make? Now I can tell you about it. Yes. You get to spoil them and send them back to their mamas and daddies, right? You know? And so we're already enjoying Amaya. My wife, you can see the smile. Amaya was just an hour and a half old when this picture was taken a month ago there. And our daughter is living, the 22-year-old is living in Tyler, Texas, and going to school there. So, again, our work in Honduras consists of, I was telling Pastor last night, that if you think about the wheel of a bicycle, in this case, a motorcycle, right? But, you know, the rim, and then it's got all the spokes in it. So manos extendidas, or extended hands, is that's the name of the ministry. So in the ministry, we have daycare centers. We have preschools. We work in juvenile detention centers in Honduras. We have a ministry to kids and teenagers that live on the streets. Here in America, I've been on the streets in several major cities, but I've never found anyone living on the streets younger than 25 years of age. In Honduras and most of Central America and third world countries, it's very rare that you will find someone under 25, living on the streets. And if you do, they're generally alcoholics or drug addicts. But as far as in Honduras, and again in some of the other Central American countries, most of the people that live on the streets are between the ages of 5 to 20 years of age, okay? So we minister to kids on the streets and teenagers. We go into the hospitals. We have a project whereby we build homes. We have a program we call our sponsorship program, where if you went to our website at mehonduras.org or .com, you would find our website still being updated and so forth. I mean, I'm trying to get some fresh pictures there and more information, but we have a sponsorship program. There's a page where we have about a dozen children and a little bit of a history of their lives and needs. So if you so desire to sponsor a child, $30 a month provides food, educational needs, and medical attention for a child that otherwise wouldn't have it. We work in the most impoverished areas in the city. The country of Honduras is 8.5 million, and literally it's as the size of the state of Arkansas. But Arkansas has 3 million people. The country of Honduras is 8.5 million, okay? And here's a sad but interesting thing. 71% of the Honduran population has an annual income of $1,000. And you do the math on that, that's about $87 a month. And when you folks, and I say that prophetically, when you folks come to visit us, you can go to Burger King, Pizza Hut, McDonald's, any one of the fast food restaurants, Denny's, or whatever, there, just as you would here. You will find the price is quite compatible to what is going on here. I mean, you go down to a McDonald's or Burger King here, you expect to pay $6 or $7 for a hamburger and a drink. Well, when you come down there, you'll pay about the same thing. But how can people that have 71% of the population that has $87 a month even afford to go to a fast food place? Okay? Well, there is several reasons for that, and most of them are not good. Okay? One, because of all the drug money. Two, because of all the Hondurans and Latins that come to the U.S. to live and work, trying to escape the poverty, okay, and dangers, coming to America illegally, and that's a really sticky issue right now. I don't approve of anybody coming into the U.S. illegally, but there are so many that I even know and have visited in my time up here during the last month that are in the country illegal. I understand why and a lot of the conditions whereby they came from, but I still don't approve of it, okay? So, but here, working and sending money home, and that's how a lot of families in Honduras and other third world countries even survive, okay? But again, that's an issue that, you know, it's a catch two there, okay? So part of what we do in the ministry with all the projects and so is we have daycare centers. This particular picture was taken from our Saturday program up at the center we call Center One. But each one of our centers operates as a multi-purpose building. In fact, in the compound or in the area, we have a building that's used for the daycare and another building that's used for the church and so forth. These kids are from the Saturday program, generally about 170 to 180 kids, 14 years and younger, okay? They have a time of worship together. They get divided into groups like a Sunday school class. Then they have their Bible time. It's usually about an hour and a half by the time they come together, sing, and get broken up into their groups, have their lessons and so forth, then we feed them. So in our different centers, I'll just show you some slides, okay? This one is at Center One, this one is at Center Two, okay? But the kids were in worship, and this particular service was a graduation service. That's why you see them with some of them with the caps on and so forth. They graduate a certain discipleship stage, not necessarily a Sunday school graduation, but even if the kids are, let's just say, ages 9 to 11, and they finish a discipleship course, okay? The course consists of 10 classes, and when they finish all 10 classes, then they graduate, they get a certificate and so forth, and that's what was going on in this particular service. We are equipping kids to share the gospel, okay? How many of you know, and there's so many things that I can say, but in every place in our life, as long as you're alive, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. There is no such thing as being too old or too young to serve and glorify God. Okay, I told you about my grandbaby, Amaya, is 1 month old. I remember back when I was pastoring in Belize, people would bring their children and we would have a dedication service. And my prayer used to be I would hold that 1 or 2 month old baby in my arms and I would pray something like, and Lord, when she, and I'll say she because of Amaya, okay, when she is of an adequate age, will you use her in your kingdom? And I remember almost getting slapped in the face, if I can use that terminology, by God. Because I'm saying when she is of an adequate age, giving to understand right now as a baby, she's really not useful to the Lord. Why did I feel like I was getting slapped in the face by the Lord? Matthew 21:16, for one, Jesus goes into Jerusalem on the donkey. Who was crying out and singing? The kids. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be who comes in the name of the Lord. The scribes and the Pharisees got angry, right? And they said,
don't you hear what they're saying? And what did Jesus respond? Jesus quoted from Psalms 8 and verse 5, okay? And he said, again, Matthew 21, verse 16, Jesus is quoting from the Old Testament Psalm, and he said, have you never read that from the mouths of babes and sucklings, God has ordained perfect praise? Did you hear that? God receives perfect praise from the worship group? Nope. From where? From the mouths of babes and sucklings. That gaga goo goo that you and I hear, you know, gaga goo goo, pee pee and poo poo. That's all we think about, baby noise and baby stuff. That gaga and goo goo, somewhere between earth and heaven, gets translated to God as perfect praise. That is the only place in the scripture that says that anything that comes from mankind is perfect, and it's not from the mouths of adults, didn't even come from the mouths of teenagers, but from the mouths of babes and sucklings. So if you minimize the importance of that baby and think that that baby right now is not useful to God, we're mistaken. That's why I can say I felt like I got slapped, because God opened my understanding to the scriptures. It is the only place. So anyway, I'm about in danger of becoming a bad preacher here. Okay, so again, the ceremony. We feed the kids. This is a new church plant. You can see the wood, the dirt floors. We had our first service in another area of the city, which makes it our fourth church plant, okay? We have four congregations with this one. The first service was held the middle of December, will be 1 year this year. Not all the kids are in the picture. I just took the largest group of them. There were about 60 kids there, the same thing. Where we minister to them and we feed them. And again, this is in one of our church services at night, the same place that we have the meetings for the kids, this very same building at night turns into service, and we have the adults there, okay, adults and children. It's a wood frame building and stuff, just painted and decorated. This is, again, jumping back to center number one. We're feeding the kids. The kids are eating in this particular meal, I think it's arroz con pollo, where you mince the chicken, boil it, mince it, and then cook it with the rice, okay? So that's what, and you know what? Why am I telling you folks these things? Because you folks have been standing with us for about, 15 years? I mean, you folks from this congregation, Heritage Bible, you all have been contributing to our ministry for about 15 to 17 years, if I'm correct. And what you are doing is helping us. Thank you. I consider myself to give you a report of what you folks have been helping to do in Central America. Again, you see some of these children around here? Okay. Ingrid is the teacher at daycare center number 2, okay, in preschool number 2. Ingrid, she is 23 years old now. Ingrid came to us when she was 9 years old. She grew up in our program, graduated from high school and went to college, became a teacher. This year, in February, the school year in Honduras, public school, and we operate on the same time schedule, is from the beginning of February till mid-November. We hired Ingrid this year. Came to us at 9 years old, have been in our program. She was in our youth program. She became one of several youth leaders in the church. Graduated high school, went to college, all locally, and now she works for us. She's on staff, okay? Your funds help to pay her income for being a teacher at daycare center and preschool number 2. This is Dennis Munguia. You can see on his shirt there. Dennis came to us. He is now 21. Dennis came to us when he was 5 years old. Another one of the kids that grew up in the ministry with us served also in the same center that Ingrid served and up till today. But Dennis is about to graduate as an agricultural engineer, okay? To do his internship he is going to Colombia for 3 months. About 2 weeks ago, we purchased his airplane ticket. I got a really great deal of about $368, if you can believe that, round trip. You know how I paid for the ticket? Because I can count on funds like from you guys. So what I'm trying to say, folks, is what I'm trying to present to you is longevity. We're not just striking out in the dark and hit and miss. We're actually seeing results of what God has been doing in our lives and through you folks and your standing with us. We continue to minister out on the streets. Maite is a young lady whom have lived in our home, okay, when she was younger. She doesn't look it at that age, but Maite is 21, okay? But just because of bad choices when she was 18 years old, you know, time to get on your own and so forth, get up on your feet. She was doing well, but she got involved with a young man that was not on the same path that we had been teaching her. Ended up living on the streets again with him, okay? But she's not crossed off of our list as far as people that we can help. We continue to work at the Boys and Girls Juvenile Detention Center. There we're teaching girls. I'll just say real quick at the girls, beautician, sewing, arts and craft, and sports, and of course, Bible, okay? At the Boys Juvenile Detention Center, kids between 13 to 18 that commit crimes go to jail. At the boys, we're teaching barber. We're teaching music, also at the girls, music, computer, and soccer, and of course, the Bible, okay? So what we do is members from the congregation. As I said, we have three congregations with the new plant. It's four. But years ago, my wife and I moved to Honduras in May of 96. And we were living there for a year and a half before we ever started a church. My idea in moving to Honduras was to start educational programs for underprivileged kids, particularly those that live on the streets. But God tugged at my heart and tugged at my heart for a year and a half, you need to start a church. And the idea was because when we were soliciting help for people to come and work with us with the kids on the streets, we rented a building and started teaching trades such as carpentry. I'm a carpenter by trade as well as a farm boy. And, so we utilized Christian radio to solicit help from other churches, Christians from other churches to come to our three-story building that we rent in would be considered a ghetto area, so the rent was really cheap. But we utilized that as our trade school, okay? So the people who came voluntarily really didn't catch the vision. So I found out that the ones that we were leading to the Lord, discipling on Monday nights, but letting them go to other churches on Sundays and Wednesdays and so forth, weren't being fed quite. I mean, you know, it's one thing when you get a person from the streets to come to Christ. Yes, their soul is saved, but have they learned that you got to take a bath every day? No. Have they learned hygiene, that you need to brush your teeth? No. So they go to church. They haven't taken a bath in a week, and they sit down in the pews. They would get that kind of treatment. And then they would quit church after a couple of weeks or months. So that was happening. And the Lord kept him, you need to start a church. And I was like, I didn't come to start a church. Finally, when God had me by the collar, and he just started, okay, Lord, all right. Fine, I'll start a church, but I'll tell you what, everybody in that church is going to become involved in the work of the ministry. Thus, the name of our ministry is called Extended Hands. Y'all all are welcome to come and live with us in Honduras, but when you come, you will, in one form or fashion, be working with us in the ministry, in the juvenile detention center, in the hospital, in the daycare centers, one way form or fashion, okay? That's the name of the ministry. So now, we go into the girls and the boys juvenile detention center. I put that picture up there. The girl in the middle, right under the black banner thing is Genesis. Genesis committed a crime to show her loyalty to the 18th Street gang. She murdered a sibling, okay? At 14 years old, she was imprisoned in the juvenile detention center and escaped. Jumped from the two-story rooftop, went through the roof, out to the edge, and two stories down, okay? Her and some other girls, but she was the only one, well, two of them actually escaped. This picture was taken, about 3 months ago. She was recaptured along with three others, okay? And now she is now in the adult prison because, as I said, back when she was 15, she did time, escaped from the girls' juvenile. But this is one of the reasons why we're there. Now, the Apostle Paul, before coming to Christ, was he a good guy? No. Okay. So, from the juvenile detention ministry, this young lady, blowing out the candles for her birthday, 25th birthday, this 14th of July, turned 25. Bessie is one of our young ladies at church, now married to Carlos. They're serving with us in the ministry. Bessie is an astonished chef. Okay? She came to Christ in the juvenile detention center and was released 10 years ago. Finished school, went to school to be a chef, and here we were celebrating her 25th birthday. Results, folks, is what I'm saying. The two young people here on the end, the young man there, 27 years old, Cesar, and the young lady in the middle, Brenda, also 24 years old at the time. They're working with us in the ministry. They're engaged to be married. Both came to Christ in the juvenile detention centers. Cesar is now 27, committed his first murder when he was 17 years old as a gang leader and ended up taking the life of a rival gang person. In Honduras, a minor can never be sentenced to more than 8 years, irregardless as to the crime. Okay? Kids have gone to jail for triple murders, and they can never be sentenced to more than 8 years. Cesar did his time serving, one and a half year at the Boys Juvenile Detention Center, and when he turned 18 and a half, they transferred him to the adult prison, where he continued to serve God faithfully and was known as the pastor there because he preached the gospel and witnessed to so many of the other prisoners. He has been out of jail and working with us in the ministry, and Cesar is now going to be leading our ministry at one. There is one juvenile detention center for girls and three for boys. We're working in two of those three for boys, okay? So Cesar will be leading up the other team of young men that is going into the one juvenile detention center where there are 136 boys the last time I was there, which was the very same one that Cesar came to Christ in, okay? Two young ladies that had been members of the 18th Street gang. I remember dates really well. The 16th of June, I took food to them. Honduras right now is in a crisis, a severe drought. There is enough water in the city for less than 2 weeks, okay? And so food is extremely hot, expensive and hard to find. But these two young ladies had been active members of the 18th Street Gang, and they were used to gather extortion money, okay? They both had gone to jail, Girls Juvenile Detention Center. But since they're out of jail, the gangs have not utilized them for extortion, okay? But they're still members. The one on the right, I'm sorry, on your left, Noelia wanted to get out. Maritza and her baby, there to the right. Okay, so still members but not participating in activities. So again, the 16th of June, taking food to them. The 10th of July, I had a meeting where my wife and I do frequently, twice a year. We gather up the girls and we gather up the boys, separate day at separate places, to find out how they're doing. Since they got out of jail, how are they doing? Are they continuing to study? Are they working? What's going on in their life? We had this meeting in the McDonald's. Okay, again, the 10th of July. Now, the one to the far right with the white blouse is the same girl, Noelia. Okay, here she's sitting on the left. There she's standing on the right. Again, the 10th of July. She told me that day, "Papi, I want to get completely out of the gang." She's non-active, but still a member. And she wants totally out. 2 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning, the 4th of August, I was here up in the U.S. My granddaughter was born Monday the 5th. Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock, I got a message from Honduras that Noelia was murdered. She was murdered in her neighborhood. Her neighborhood was controlled by the 18th Street gang. Nobody can go in there at 2 o'clock in the morning and murder somebody. No other rival gang or thief. It's not allowed. So my theory, and I believe I'm 100%, 99% correct, that she was murdered because she asked to get out. And it's blood in and blood out. And sometimes that blood is your own. It cost her life, and she was not the only girl that are young man that has been murdered because they left the gangs, okay? So I say all of this, folks, not to sadden you. Pray for us, okay? I mean, people ask me when they know a whole lot more than what I'm sharing with you. You know, I mean, I only get around about, as I said, once every 3 to 5 years. But some folks that were around a lot more and know a whole lot more about some of the other kids, they ask me, "Alvin, how do you cope with this?" And we just, the same way that the Lord does, one soul at a time. We can never allow discouragement from what happens to one or two to cause us to throw in the towel and quit working with the rest. It's hard. It's very difficult. Very difficult. Okay? But we keep moving, okay? We keep going forward. People ask, let me just go back real quick. The young lady in the middle, I told you about her being in jail, not as a gang, but Brenda is 21. She doesn't look like it, but yes, she is. Okay, and this picture was only taken about 2 months ago. But Brenda lives in our house. But she spent 5.5 years in juvenile detention also for an accomplice to homicide, okay? She witnessed and approved of the murder of a family member. Now, why am I mentioning her again? Because we get snarled upon, how can you allow people that murdered a family member, even though now she is in Christ. Brenda was one of the most devout Christians in the juvenile detention, and her father was from Wisconsin. Of course, he died several years ago, died when she was 5, but so she was born to a North American man and a Honduran mom, okay? Now speaks English very well and lives in our house. We get snarled upon, how can you take in such kids? They don't deserve it, okay? My response is, was not Paul a murderer? And abused and beaten and hauled in jail a lot of Christians before Christ saved him. So who am I to judge? And who knows whom God wants to use? Okay. Marvin is one of the young men that has been with us for 19 years. He is pastoring the church that meets at Center One, and his wife, Etheline. Etheline grew up with us in the Central Church ever since she was 7 years old. And now she's the pastor's wife. And they have 2 beautiful kids there. And that's it. Okay? I took off all of my 35 minutes. Can I just take a little bit more to share just a quick scripture with you, please? Okay. And I'm going to I was going to say throw the ball quick. I was going to say shoot first, but shooting sounds bad, right? Okay. Sadly, we didn't pray. By the way, I searching the news this morning, you're aware that of another shooting at a movie theater early morning this morning, 5 dead, 21 injured, Odessa, Texas. Okay. As we, pray for our country, folks, we really need to be, okay? All right? So, anyway, I'm going to paraphrase just to not take up so much time, okay? But y'all check me out. You promise you're going to read the scriptures? I won't read it so we can save time, but I will paraphrase Matthew chapter 25, okay? Now, Matthew chapter 25 is the entire chapter, but it's divided into three parts. The first part, from verse 1 to verse 13, talks about the 10 virgins, the 5 wise, the 5 foolish. I don't want to get into that part of it. What I want to say is it's talking about brides. It's talking about a wedding. So my summary of Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13, is that of marriage and family. How many of y'all here have a family? Everybody. You were born into a family, or maybe your parents are deceased and you've started a family, okay? But you as a young person have a family. So I'm talking to you. All right. Matthew 25, verses 14 to verse 30. Jesus is teaching the whole time, okay? And he comes in, and I want to summarize this, but Jesus talks in there about a man, father of family, that is going away. He's a boss, and he has servants, right? So he calls the servants together, and to one he gives 5 talents of silver, and 5 talents. The Bible didn't say what was silver or what. But then to another one he gave 2 talents, and to another one he gave 1. I don't want to get into talking about the 5 and the 2 and the 1. What I want to say is I summarize those verses as being business and employment opportunities, okay? Maybe some of you have your own business. Maybe some of you worked at your job for 15 years, 5 years, I don't know. But it is God who provides. I want you to notice that in the first 13 verses, the Bible says that God brought the bride, the groom, to the house of the bride, the 10 virgins, okay? God brought that. God brought your family together, folks. He did that. And then in verses 14 through 30, the Bible says that the head of house, he called the servants and gave to them their employment, their business, their opportunity. Now, from verse 31 to verse 43, it totally turns around dramatically, especially around in verse 37, verse 39. Because first of all, Jesus says he's talking about the sheep and the goat. Okay? He likens people to sheep and goat. And he said, in the end, my father will call the sheep and put them on his right, and then the goats he will put them on his left. And what is the difference? Because he said to the one on his right, I was hungry, I was sick, I was in jail, I was on the streets, and you came to visit me when I was sick, you came to visit me when I was in jail, you gave me food when I was hungry, and you did all of this. Enter into the joys of your Lord. Why enter into the joys of your Lord? Because you saw me hungry and on the streets, destituted. You came to me and visited me in the hospital. You came and visited me in the jail without asking questions. Well, what did you do to go to jail in the first place? There was no prejudices about that. You came and you did it for me. That's why. Enter into the joys of your Lord. Those that are to the left, you saw me hungry. You saw me, knew that I was sick and in the hospital or at home. You knew that I was in jail, and you did not come to see me. You could care less about me. Because of that, going to hell, excuse me, prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 21 and verse 41. That's Matthew 25, verse 41. That's what it says. To the ones on the left, I will say to them, go into hell prepared for the devil and his angels. Why? Because you saw me and you did not serve me. You did not get involved in my life, in the life of the community, people that are hurting. But those of you that are on the right, that are known as my sheep, and we are the sheep of his pasture. Therefore, folks, I encourage you, the prerequisite of what Jesus is saying here is what you do for others. I've given you your family. I've given you your business and employment. Now, I need you to do something for me. Go to the hospital. Go to the home where the elderly or even the handicapped children or whatever it might be. Because Jesus is saying, if you did it to them, it's like you did it to me. But if you didn't do it to them, you didn't do it to me. And again, the difference is, I'm saved. I believe in Jesus Christ. I've confessed that Christ is my Savior. By faith, I have received him. Yes, but James talks about faith without works is dead. I want you to read those scriptures too in chapter 2 or chapter 3. I can't remember. Chapter 2, I believe it is, beginning in verse 18. Okay? So yes, you have faith in God. You've given your life to Christ. You belong to him. But James says that we need to have some works to go along with that. Okay? The Bible says in Matthew, help me out, chapter 5. Oh, okay, I lost the address there. But he says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. If the salt loses its savor, then what good is it? We are the salt, folks. You know, the salt that's sitting on your table is there for who? For us. Not for itself. The lights that is there, the lights aren't there. You know what? I'm very fragile, and I don't like all of these people. So I'm just going to hang up here in the ceiling, far from these people, and I'll shine. But that's all. They aren't there for their own purposes, folks. We put those lights on for our benefit. So God has put us in the world, young man, young woman, or elderly. God has put you in the world for his purposes to serve others. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. He wants to use us. And going into his kingdom, yes, requires faith in him, but also I want you to understand what you do for the others, as Jesus said in Matthew 25, verses 31 through 43. Because you did it for them, because you did it for them, you did it for me. Come into the joy of your Father. Because of that. It didn't say that you became a Christian and accept Christ. It is a prerequisite. Coming to Christ is necessary. But coming to Christ in faith and doing the works that he has left us here is important. Thank you for allowing me to share with you. And please excuse me going over time, okay? Pastor, God bless you all.